This is LBC News at 11:52. I'm Emily Lang. A man and a woman have been arrested over the 1998 Omagh bombing in what's being described as a significant breakthrough. No one's ever been convicted over the real IRA attack, which killed 29 people. Relatives are bringing a civil case against those they believe were responsible. From the LBC News Centre, Will Inglis has been following the story.
A security operation involving up to 200 troops and police officers closed off part of the Jonesboro area of South Armagh this morning. News of the arrests came as relatives of the Omagh victims were in Dublin, lobbying the Irish Republic's Justice Minister for help in the civil action they're bringing against four men they claim were involved in the bombing. Michael Gallagher is chairman of the Omagh Victims Association. He says they won't let up the pressure for convictions.
Still the largest live murder investigation in Northern Ireland, and I think that we have continued to keep pressure on both governments, both the Irish and British governments, to bring those responsible before the courts.
They're planning to sue four men they claim were involved in the attack for compensation. The government has already pledged £800,000 towards the estimated £1.5 million the relatives need to pay the costs of their High Court action. Victor Barker's son James was killed by the bomb. He says the arrests prove the civil action is already reaping rewards.
We're delighted that by continuing our own civil action, which we saw as our only means of pursuing those responsible, we were optimistic that ultimately that could result in criminal prosecutions.
Although no one has been convicted directly for the atrocity in Omagh, two men relatives believe were involved have been convicted on terrorism charges. Colin Murphy was convicted of conspiracy to cause an explosion, and Michael McKevitt was convicted in the Irish Republic of directing terrorism. Sky's David Blevin says these latest arrests are an important development.
Sources close to the investigation are describing it as perhaps the most significant breakthrough yet. So there is some relief, I think, for bereaved relatives and the injured from Omagh today. This is the day they say they've waited 5 years for some sort of move towards an arrest of people they believe to be responsible for some part of that bombing.
Security editor of the Irish Independent newspaper, Tom Brady, has told LBC News 11:52 it's a real breakthrough for the security services.
A lot of people, dozens and dozens of people, have been arrested on both sides of the border over the past 5 years. And as their legal representative, Jason McHugh, said in Dublin this afternoon after a meeting with the Irish Justice Minister, Michael McDowell, what they want at this stage is charges and convictions, not just arrests. So they'll be waiting over the next couple of days to see how things develop. It's been described as a significant breakthrough, but nobody's saying whether it's thought that it will lead to any charges. I think the reason there were so many people involved in that South Armagh in the past has been regarded as an area that would not be very appreciative of a major operation by either police or army. So as a result of that, they decided to put up to 200 people into the operation. The dissident Republicans are quite active in that area, and both police and army will be wary of an attack as they moved in.
Sources close to the investigation claim these latest arrests represent a breakthrough, but weren't prepared to comment on the likelihood of anyone facing imminent charges.
LBC News 11:52, Business Roundup from Bloomberg.
Debenhams, the UK's second largest department store chain, says total sales over the past 6 months have increased 8%. The company says it's sold more women's clothing. Debenhams is being pursued by a group of private equity firms led by Permira Advisors. Analysts say the sales figures may encourage another company to make an offer for Debenhams. Ryanair, Europe's number two low-cost airline, flew 44% more passengers this August than last. The budget carrier has added routes and cut fares after it bought rival Buzz from KLM. Ryanair says it carried a record 2.1 million people last month. The proportion of seats it filled, though, fell 5 percentage points to 90%. And US TV network NBC, owned by General Electric, has entered exclusive negotiations to buy Vivendi Universal's US entertainment unit. NBC would gain Vivendi's film and TV studios and programs like Law and Order. If it goes ahead, the transaction would create the sixth biggest media company in the world. And there's more Bloomberg Business News in half an hour.
London's best showbiz service from LBC News 11:52. 24-hour news for London.
Hello, I'm Jo Parkinson. I was at the nomination launch for the Mobos 2003 last night and the ladies came up trumps. Destiny's Child singer Beyoncé Knowles and South London soul singer Terry Walker have four nominations each, and so Solid Crew's Lisa Mafia has three. It's been Wimbledon-born Terry Walker's year this year. Not only is she up for four Mobos, but her album Untitled has also earned her a prestigious Mercury Music Prize nomination. She is, as expected, over the moon.
I feel amazing. It's like, so, I'm so honoured, because last year no one knew who I was. This year, everyone knows. No, everyone knows. Like, a lot of people started to recognise and know what it's about, and I'm like, wow.
It all happens at once, though, hasn't it? You've got your Mobo nominations, your Mercury nominations.
It's like, and it's weird, because, you know, it's when you least expect it. I think that's when it kind of hits you more.
Much has been made of the high number of white American artists included, with Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera both high up in the nominations list. But Mobo organiser Kanya King denies they're selling out.
At the end of the day, you only have to look at all our nominees. If it's a list of 40, seven of them or less might happen to be white. But it's all about the music. It's music of black origin, not artists of black origin.
And Posh Spice was the unlikely name on everyone's lips last night. She's leaving behind her pop image in an effort to go street, and has been recording tunes for her new album with garage music producer and South London So Solid crew member JD. He told me that the rumours about Ms Beckham's vocal skills aren't true.
She is a very professional singer. That woman has sold how many millions of records, so she must be able to sing a note.
Were you surprised when you got asked to work with her?
At first I was, but then I had a meeting with her, she told me what she wanted, and we just got it on. Pastry's voice, when you hear the track, if you hear the track, is very straightforward and raw. It's street. Posh Spice. This is the street Posh Spice. We recorded it in Brixton, so there you go.
Can she really do that, though? Can she rap? Can she do garage?
Posh Spice can do anything she wants.
I'm Sophie Davidson, and I'm Vanessa Square earlier for the premiere of The Calendar Girl, starring Helen Mirren and Julie Walters. I spoke to Helen Mirren earlier at the Savoy Hotel. She told me it was great fun working with all the British talent in the movie.
You know what was the best was when we did the read-through. We went in, we did the read-through, and I'm still a little bit, you know, a few question marks in my head. I sat down, and there was Linda and Penelope and Annette and Celia and all these fantastic faces, women, just real women, and knowing that they were all incredible actresses. And we did the read-through, and it was so funny. It was so great, the read-through. It was brilliant, and because they're all great actresses, so they just nailed it, you know. And they've worked in theatre, so they knew how to present it. And it was very, very funny. And my heart dropped because I thought, oh, my God, this is a really bad sign. If it's this funny now, it will never be as good again. But in fact, thanks to Nigel, it was, you know, it was as funny.
I mean, I'm so sure. It's one of those films that I sat there, and I know what you mean. It's not edgy and it's not dangerous, but it's such a beautiful film, and it's so heartwarming and charming and fun, and
true.
I just think it's going to be a huge hit. I really do.
That's great. Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, to hear the responses from younger people, older people, boys, girls, men, women, you know, that's when you start to think, maybe this movie's going to be okay.
And so just finally, about tonight, you said you're going to be wearing something a bit different. Are you going to give me any secrets?
Oh, no, it's not that it's different. It's not different. It's kind of ordinary, really. But, no, it's just bright orange. It's like so naff, really. But for some reason, it's what I want to wear tonight. I know that everyone's going to slag me off, but, you know, no. What the hell.
London's best showbiz service from LBC News 1152. 24-hour news for London.
Mad, angry, annoyed, crazy, wild, outraged, frenzied, perturbed, miffed, shirty, embittered, disgruntled, resentful, wrathful, enraged, discontent, appalled, cheesed off, hacked off, ticked off, ill-tempered, incensed, seized, huffed, furious...
Not including the many swear words we can add to this list, this is how you'll feel if you miss out on MG Rover's massive demonstrator sale. Get down to your nearest MG Rover dealer today and see how good a deal you can get, whatever model or make you're after. Save yourself a lot of grief and cash at the demonstrator sale at your nearest MG Rover dealer. If you miss it, you've only got yourself to blame.
When I turned 28, I decided I needed a new start. Even though I didn't have any A-levels, Burke Beck helped me get my degree. Now I can face the future with confidence.
I couldn't afford to give up my job, especially with a family to raise. But going to Burke Beck meant I could study what I wanted and continue working. With this degree, I can face my future with confidence.
Based in central London, Burke Beck specialises in part-time university education by evening study. We offer a wide choice of subjects from short courses to degrees. At Burke Beck, we're geared to help you with a late library, flexible learning and an evening nursery. Face your future with confidence. Come to Burke Beck's open evening on Wednesday the 3rd of September from 4 till 8 p.m. Call 0845 601 0174, email admissions at bbk.ac.uk, or visit www.bbk.ac.uk.
Sport for London from LBC News 1152.
I'm Michael Travolsi. England have a midfield injury crisis ahead of Saturday's Euro 2004 qualifier against Macedonia. Sven-Goran Eriksson's only has seven fit midfielders to choose from, following Steven Gerrard and Trevor Sinclair's withdrawal. Paul Scholes wasn't even included because of an ongoing hernia problem. The England head coach says Scholes will be missed.
He's one of the best midfielders you can find in the world. So, but he's out now for those two games, so we have to deal without him.
David Beckham was in action this evening for Real Madrid against Villarreal. The final score there tonight was 1-1. Rio Ferdinand, who's been suffering with a virus, will have tests tomorrow, so former Arsenal defender Matthew Upson's been called up. Fans planning to travel to Macedonia are being urged to stay at home, though. The FA are giving away their allocation of 2,000 seats to deprived children as a goodwill gesture, but supporters could still try to get tickets on the black market. And with a weekend of football internationals ahead, it comes as little surprise that another club versus country row is brewing. Wales and Newcastle appear on a collision course over striker Craig Bellamy. The Magpies say his knee injury should rule him out of the Euro qualifier with Italy, but an independent scan has passed him fit. Wales manager Mark Hughes says he fully intends to take Bellamy with him to Italy.
We were quite happy to go along with what Newcastle requested. We organised it over the weekend. Craig travelled down from Newcastle to Sheffield, saw the guy in Sheffield, and he gave him permission to come with us.
Surrey batsman Graham Thorpe's warning the cricketing public not to expect miracles when he resumes his test career later this week. The left-hander looks set to play against South Africa on his home ground at the Oval on Thursday, after a year in the wilderness. Thorpe's been regarded as England's best batsman in recent years, but he admits he might need a period of readjustment.
Yeah, I've been out of international cricket for a year, so it's, you know, you're not going to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. It's going to be an adjusting period, and I'm going to have to realise that. And hopefully, you know, when my turn comes during the game, that I'm up to the pace of it, and that's going to be, you know, the pressure which is on me.
And Surrey have announced the first 4 days of the fifth test have been completely sold out. And just one final piece of injury news to an England international: fast bowler Andy Carrick has been ruled out of the winter tours of Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. The Somerset paceman is to have surgery on the back injury, which ruled him out of the series against South Africa. It's expected to keep him out for another 3 months. Alex Stewart's remaining typically modest, describing his swan song in Test cricket against South Africa as just another game. The England stalwart set for a heartwarming reception on Thursday at the Oval when he declares his career on 133 tests. It's sure to be an emotional occasion when Stewart bows out of the ground where he's played all his county career with Surrey. But for now, he says, it's business as usual.
My preparation and thought pattern will be exactly the same as it's always been for the last 13 years. And that might sound boring, not what you want to hear. How I react, I won't know until we're out there. But I'm treating it as just another game.
And finally, Ralf Schumacher is in hospital in Milan after crashing his Williams BMW in testing at Monza. His car was badly damaged in the crash on Tuesday afternoon, but was conscious when he arrived at the track's medical center. The car is believed to have somersaulted several times when he crashed at the 150-mile-an-hour first Lesmo corner. LBC News 1152, more sport in half an hour.
LBC News 1152, sport every 30 minutes. Replay on LBC News 1152, online,
on digital,
and on air across London.
I'm Will Inglis. They hadn't been on air together for nearly 20 years, but on Tuesday morning, two of London's most famous voices reunited as part of LBC's 30th birthday celebrations. Douglas Cameron and Bob Holness controlled the airwaves in the mid-70s as their early morning AM programme reached millions of Londoners. Bob left LBC in 1985 to pursue a career in television, which included one of the most successful and long-running quiz programmes of all time, the legendary Blockbusters. But at 8 a.m. they were back together again, sharing their memories with London.
The first management got all the executives together, they got all the producers together, and then at the last minute they said, wait a minute, we haven't got any presenters. And with about 48 hours to go to the start of the station, they said, who on earth can we get to read the news, present programs?
Yeah. Oh,
quite extraordinary. Naturally enough, then, there were some faux pas. We can recollect one or two for you. Some of you may know about this. There was the newsreader. They had a three-car pile-up in East Anglia, in Bury St. Edmunds.
Oh, yes.
And they had a story. And this guy, who I must admit had just come over from Oz, and I apologise to all Australians for doing this, but you've got to do it in the Australian accent. And he came across this news item, and he said, there's been a three-car pile-up in Berry Street, Edmonds. He said, fortunately, nobody's been hurt. He says, I'm not too sure which part of London Edmonds is in, but if you live in Berry Street, the accident happened near you.
I'd forgotten that completely.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember there was one afternoon, presenter, no names, of course, one wouldn't dare, who was waiting for the 4 o'clock bulletin to be brought into the studio from the newsroom. Had to run along corridors in those days, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, four o'clock came and went, and the producer played the station jingles several times, no sign of the bulletin, then yelled through the talkback to the presenter, you'll have to say something, whereupon the hapless individual told his audience, the news is coming in thick and fast, I only wish to God some of it were reaching me.
Many, many people will recall our racing correspondent, Colin Turner.
Gosh.
When he talked about tree fellas, everybody said, oh, you're down in the forest again, aren't you? No, no, he said, I mean three fellas. He said, yes. Well, anyway, one of the newsreaders said, now over to Colin Turner for hearse racing at Horst Park.
That's right. And it wasn't only horse racing that featured in the faux pas. LBC used to give the day's greyhound results for the London tracks each evening. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
After the 11 o'clock news. Proved to be too difficult for one newsreader, who said one night, now here are the cat results coming from Dogford. The whole presentation is different. Now it's all with the use of screens. It used to be paper. We used to have paper, carbon-copied paper, all over the desk. You remember?
Yeah, I do.
I'm getting used to it still. But it takes some getting used to because the pace is very much different.
Yes, it is.
It used to be very much slower and very much more casual in those days. In these days, it's you fly by the seat of your pants.
You do.
How you do it, I don't know. I'm staggered.
Replay on LBC News 11:52. Non-stop news for London. LBC News 11:52, 24 hours a day. The latest headline stories for London.
At 11:30, I'm Una Devine. A 54-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the disappearance and murders of five members of the Chohan family from West London. The bodies of millionaire haulage owner Amarjeet and his wife Nancy were found in the sea off Dorset several months ago. Their two young sons and Mrs. Chohan's mother, all from Hounslow, have been missing since February. The man is being held at a central London police station. A man from Gillingham in Kent has been charged with abducting a 14-year-old girl. David Milner was being questioned at Chatham Police Station after being taken there from Scotland last night. He'll appear in court in the morning, charged with a total of 9 offences. A major breakthrough tonight in the 5-year investigation into Northern Ireland's bloodiest single atrocity, the Omagh bombing. A man and woman have been arrested in a huge operation involving 200 police officers and soldiers. As yet, no one's been charged with murdering the 29 people who died in that attack. Jason McHugh is a lawyer for the Omagh victims' families.
I'm delighted. I mean, but we've got to remember there were a lot of arrests after the original bombing. And it's all really, at the end of the day, down to, I think, convictions.
The Hutton inquiry has heard expert evidence that Dr. David Kelly seems to have taken his own life because he felt he had been publicly disgraced.
The director of suicide research from Oxford University told the hearing that David Kelly's low self-esteem was caused by people losing trust in him and by dismay at his media exposure. And 40 Connex train services a day are being scrapped in the southeast, including major routes into London. The changes come into effect next month. And the company says it will mean a more efficient and punctual service. Some services will not stop at London Bridge, with commuters being forced to travel on to Waterloo East and then catch a tube back on themselves. London's weather staying fine and dry overnight with a mixture of cloud and clear spells, milder than recent nights with temperatures falling to around 14 degrees Celsius. This is RBC. It's just coming up on 32 minutes past 11.
This is LBC News 1152. Non-stop news for London with live updates every 30 minutes.
More on some of our top stories now this evening. And a man and a woman are have been arrested over the 1988 Omagh bombing in what's being described as a significant breakthrough. No one's ever been convicted over the Real IRA attack, which killed 29 people. Relatives are bringing a civil case against those that they believe were responsible. Security editor of the Irish Independent newspaper, Tom Brady, says that they may be significant arrests.
A lot of people, dozens and dozens of people, have been arrested on both sides of the border over the past 5 years. And as their legal representative, Jason McHugh, said in Dublin this afternoon after a meeting with the Irish Justice Minister, Michael McDowell, what they want at this stage is charges and convictions, not just arrests. So they'll be waiting over the next couple of days to see how things develop. It's been described as a significant breakthrough, but nobody's saying whether it's thought that it will lead to any charges. I think the reason there were so many people involved in that South Armagh in the past has been regarded as an area that would not be very appreciative of a major operation by either police or army. So as a result of that, they decided to put up to 200 people into the operation. The dissident Republicans are quite active in that area, and both police and army will be wary of an attack as they moved in.
Tom Brady there, security editor of the Irish Independent newspaper, speaking to LBC News 1152 earlier on this evening. Now, more bad news for those of you who catch mainline trains to and from work. Connex is getting rid of 40 services a day in the southeast, including major routes into London Bridge. The reason? To make trains run on time. Connex is blaming part of the problem on the rerouting of Eurostar services onto the Channel Tunnel rail link. The company spokeswoman Sarah Boundy has told LBC News 1152 that more Londoners will now get to work on time.
Our passengers tell us that their priority is for a punctual railway service. Of course, our priority also is to run a reliable railway service where the trains run on time. So the changes that we've made to the winter timetable are really to improve the punctuality of the train service for our passengers. We've made these changes, and we've really devised the winter timetable with the help of passenger groups. So we've asked people like the Rail Passengers Committee and many other stakeholders to actually help us create this timetable. We operate a very intensive timetable currently. We run about 1,700 train journeys a day, and about 1,400 of them begin or end in London. So really, running services at this capacity means that any small disruption can have a massive knock-on effect to other services, and so really disrupt thousands of other passengers.
Sarah Boundy from Connex Trains there. Well, meanwhile, Ken Livingstone is admitting that Victoria Line trains are out of contact with their controllers when they leave Victoria Station. If drivers want to contact their controllers, they have to leave the cab and use manual phones along the route. The three underground stations affected are Pimlico, Stockwell and Brixton. Transport for London has told LBC News 1152 that it does intend to upgrade the radio system used on the Victoria and Bakerloo lines. The system south of Victoria Station has been in use since the 1960s. Now, more on another of our top stories this evening. And the Hutton Inquiry has heard that it's almost certain that Dr. David Kelly killed himself. Professor Keith Holton, an expert on suicide, has been answering questions. He thinks that all the evidence points to that conclusion. Earlier, the inquiry heard from a neighbour who'd seen Dr. Kelly shortly before he died and a volunteer dog handler who found his body. Our political editor, Mark Demery, was at the hearing at the Royal Courts of Justice. He's told us that Professor Holton concluded that David Kelly was in the frame of mind to possibly commit suicide.
He said he was an intensely private man. He didn't like talking about his feelings at the best of times, and he had difficulty facing them even with his family. It was a constant theme from all those I've spoken to that no, he did not believe, said Professor Horton, that it was possible that an ordinary lay person would have spotted the signs warning signs, if there were any, that that Dr. Kelly intended to commit suicide. And he went so far as to, at the very least, conjecture that Dr. Kelly's decision to take his own life wasn't made until late morning, possibly early afternoon on the day on which he died.
Our political editor Mark Demery there. Two Italians have been charged with attempting to smuggle around 14 kilos of cocaine with a street value of more than £800,000 through Gatwick Airport. 29-year-old Laura Massante and 23-year-old Constantino Manica appeared at Crawley Magistrates this morning. They've been remanded in custody until the 10th of September. One man has been killed and 15 others injured after a car bomb ripped through Baghdad's police headquarters. The city's head of police is thought to have been the target, but he actually survived the blast. The attack has dealt yet another blow to Washington's efforts to stabilize Iraq. Security expert Ian Donald says that the security situation is getting very bad.
It's easy to look at this as a complete disaster. However, I think it needs to be put into context that a campaign that has been conducted so swiftly and so rapidly from the outset, and with regards to that, I'm talking about the war there, the post-war situation is an amazingly large and complex situation. So mistakes will be made, and I think that's inevitable. But I think that what is important is how we deal with and learn from these mistakes.
Well, there's been a celebrity-studded turnout for the premiere of Calendar Girls in Leicester Square this evening. The film is the true story of Women's Institute members from North Yorkshire who posed nude for a charity calendar. Well, speaking on the red carpet outside the Odeon Cinema, one of the stars, Julie Walters, explains what the movie was like to film.
We had a great time making the film. It was really, really good fun. And we all got on very well. And you could imagine all this big group of women all the same age. You know, it's just, you don't get that normally. So it was lovely. And the director was really good fun as well. So, yes, did I enjoy taking my clothes off? No. Is that what you asked me?
Yeah. But you wasn't asked to convince you to take your clothes off.
Oh, well, you have to. Because there's no point in taking this role unless you were going to do that. So that had to be a given. But I was very worried about it, you know. Not exactly home, you know, for perfection. And so I did say, I want to talk to you about, what are you going to see? Exactly, there's certain bits of me I don't want to see.
Julie Walters there speaking outside the premiere of Calendar Girls in Leicester Square earlier on this evening. London's weather now staying fine and dry overnight. Mixture of cloud and clear spells and quite mild with temperatures only falling to around 14 degrees Celsius. Looking ahead to tomorrow, it will be fine and dry with some bright or sunny periods, warm with a light breeze and highs of 23 degrees Celsius. You're listening to LBC News 11:52, just coming up on 39 minutes past 11 o'clock.
Those office guys sit in their ivory tower, completely detached from the reality of what's happening here.
Those field guys don't stick to the budget.
Oh, yeah? Maybe the guys in the office should stick to warming their seats.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe the guys in the field should stick to wearing their dumb-looking hard hats.
Departments don't always connect with each other. But when your network and IT come together, your
office desk jockeys
and
grubby field guys
and all the rest of your organisation comes together. Good reason to talk to BT, the people who network all of us.
You office guys with your ties.
Phone 0800 400 478 or go to bt.com/business. BT, more connections, more possibilities.
When I turned 28, I decided I needed a new start. Even though I didn't have any A-levels, Birk Beck helped me get my degree. Now I can face the future with confidence.
I couldn't afford to give up my job, especially with a family to raise. But going to Birk Beck meant I could study what I wanted and continue working. With this degree, I can face my future with confidence.
Based in central London, Birk Beck specialises in part-time university education by evening study. We offer a wide choice of subjects from short courses to degrees. At Birk Beck, we're geared to help you with a late library, flexible learning and an evening nursery. Face your future with confidence. Come to Birk Beck's open evening on Wednesday the 3rd of September from 4 till 8 p.m. Call 0845 601 0174, email admissions at bbk.ac.uk or visit www.bbk.ac.uk.
Travel information from LBC News 1152.
Non-stop news for London.
This is Simon Bennett. Hello. Lots of work happening in the east of town right now. The A13 commercial road is closed into town from the West India Dock Road to Butcher Row for resurfacing. Diversions are in, and in Poplar, you've got the East India Dock Road down to a single lane into town at Saltwell Street. Over in Canning Town, the A13 Newham Way is shut eastbound from Barking Road towards Prince Regent Lane. Elsewhere, we're looking at the closure of the Blackwall Tunnel northbound for routine works. The traffic sharing a single lane each way through the southbound bore until 5:30 tomorrow morning. Over in the west of town, certainly one to watch out for if you're coming in from the west tomorrow morning. Uxbridge Road closed into town between Gunnersbury Lane and the High Street with a burst water main. Could remain closed until Friday morning. We'll keep you up to date. LBC News 11:52. More travel in half an hour.
Travel with eShore.com, where safe drivers and safe homeowners save money.
This is LBC News 11:52. I'm Emily Lang. A man and a woman have been arrested over the 1998 Omagh bombing in what's being described as a significant breakthrough. No one's ever been convicted over the real IRA attack, which killed 29 people. Relatives are bringing a civil case against those they believe were responsible. From the LBC News Centre, Will Inglis has been following the story.
A security operation involving up to 200 troops and police officers closed off part of the Jonesboro area of South Armagh this morning. News of the arrests came as relatives of the Omagh victims were in Dublin, lobbying the Irish Republic's Justice Minister for help in the civil action they're bringing against four men they claim were involved in the bombing. Michael Gallagher is chairman of the Omagh Victims Association. He says they won't let up the pressure for convictions.
This is still the largest live murder investigation in Northern Ireland, and I think that we have continued to keep pressure on both governments, both the Irish and British governments, to bring those responsible before the courts.
They're planning to sue four men they claim were involved in the attack for compensation. The government has already pledged £800,000 towards the estimated £1.5 million the relatives need to pay the costs of their High Court action. Victor Barker's son, James, was killed by the bomb. He says the arrests prove the civil action is already reaping rewards.
We're delighted that by continuing our own civil action, which we saw as our only means of pursuing those responsible, we were optimistic that ultimately that could result in criminal prosecutions.
Although no one has been convicted directly for the atrocity in Omagh, two men relatives believe were involved have been convicted on terrorism charges. Colin Murphy was convicted of conspiracy to cause an explosion, and Michael McKevitt was convicted in the Irish Republic of directing terrorism. Sky's David Blevin says these latest arrests are an important development.
Sources close to the investigation are describing it as perhaps the most significant breakthrough yet. So there is some relief, I think, for bereaved relatives and the injured from Omagh today. This is the day they say they've waited 5 years for some sort of move towards an arrest of people they believe to be responsible for some part of that bombing.
Security editor of the Irish Independent newspaper, Tom Brady, has told LBC News 11:52 it's a real breakthrough for the security services.
A lot of people, dozens and dozens of people, have been arrested on both sides of the border over the past 5 years. And as their legal representative, Jason McHugh, said in Dublin this afternoon after a meeting with the Irish Justice Minister, Michael McDowell, what they wanted to stage is charges and convictions, not just arrests. So they'll be waiting over the next couple of days to see how things develop. It's been described as a significant breakthrough, but nobody's saying whether it's thought that it will lead to any charges. I think the reason there were so many people involved in that South Armagh in the past has been regarded as an area that would not be very appreciative of a major operation by either police or army. So as a result of that, they decided to put up to 200 people into the operation. The dissident Republicans are quite active in that area, and both police and army will be wary of an attack as they moved in.
Sources close to the investigation claim these latest arrests represent a breakthrough, but weren't prepared to comment on the likelihood of anyone facing imminent charges.
LBC News 11:52, Business Roundup from Bloomberg.
Debenhams, the UK's second largest department store chain, says total sales over the past 6 months have increased 8%. The company says it's sold more women's clothing. Debenhams is being pursued by a group of private equity firms led by Permira Advisors. Analysts say the sales figures may encourage another company to make an offer for Debenhams. Ryanair, Europe's number two low-cost airline, flew 44% more passengers this August than last. The budget carrier has added routes and cut fares after it bought rival Buzz from KLM. Ryanair says it carried a record 2.1 million people last month. The proportion of seats it filled, though, fell 5 percentage points to 90%. And US TV network NBC, owned by General Electric, has entered exclusive negotiations to buy Vivendi Universal's U.S. entertainment unit. NBC would gain Vivendi's film and TV studios and programs like Law and Order. If it goes ahead, the transaction would create the sixth biggest media company in the world. And there's more Bloomberg Business News in half an hour.
London's best showbiz service from LBC News 1152. 24-hour news for London.
Hello, I'm Jo Parkinson. I was at the nomination launch for the MOBOs 2003 last night and the ladies came up trumps. Destiny's Child singer Beyoncé Knowles and South London soul singer Terry Walker have four nominations each, and so Solid Crew's Lisa Mafia has three. It's been Wimbledon-born Terry Walker's year this year. Not only is she up for four MOBOs, but her album Untitled has also earned her a prestigious Mercury Music Prize nomination. She is, as expected, over the moon.
I feel amazing. It's like, I'm so honoured, because I said last year no one knew who I was. This year everyone knows. No, everyone knows. A lot of people start to recognise and know what it's about, and I'm like, wow.
It all happens at once though, hasn't it? You've got your MOBO nominations, your Mercury nomination.
It's like, and it's weird, because you know, it's when you least expect it. And I think that's when it kind of hits you.
Much has been made of the high number of white American artists included, with Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera both high up in the nominations list. But MOBO organiser Kanya King denies they're selling out.
At the end of the day, you only have to look at all our nominees. If it's a list of 40, 7 of them or less might happen to be white. But it's all about the music. It's music of black origin, not artists of black origin.
And Posh Spice was the unlikely name on everyone's lips last night. She's leaving behind her pop image in an effort to go street, and has been recording tunes for her new album with garage music producer and South London So Solid Crew member JD. He told me that the rumours about Ms Beckham's vocal skills aren't true.
She is a very professional singer. That woman has sold how many millions of records, so she must be able to sing a note.
Were you surprised when you got asked to work with her?
At first I was, but then I had a meeting with her, she told me what she wanted, and we just got it on. Pastry's voice, when you hear the track, if you hear the track, is very straightforward and raw. It's street. Posh Spice. This is the street Posh Spice. We recorded it in Brixton, so there you go.
Can she really do that though? Can she rap? Can she do garage?
Posh Spice can do anything she wants.
I'm Sophie Davidson, and I was in Leicester Square earlier for the premiere of The Calendar Girls, starring Helen Mirren and Julie Walters. I spoke to Helen Mirren earlier at the Savoy Hotel. She told me it was great fun working with all the British talent in the movie.
You know what was the best was when we did the read-through. We went in, we did the read-through, and I'm still a little bit, you know, a few question marks in my head. I sat down, and there was Linda and Penelope and Annette and Celia and all these fantastic faces, women, just real women, and knowing that they were all incredible actresses. And we did the read-through, and it was so funny. It was so great, the read-through. It was brilliant. And because they're all great actresses, so they just nailed it, you know. And they've worked in theatre, so they knew how to present it. And it was very, very funny. And my heart dropped because I thought, oh, my God, this is a really bad sign. If it's this funny now, it will never be as good again. But in fact, thanks to Nigel, it was, you know, it was as funny.
I mean, I'm so sure. It's one of those films that I sat there, and I know what you mean. It's not edgy and it's not dangerous, but it's such a beautiful film, and it's so heartwarming and charming and fun. And
true.
I just think it's going to be a huge hit. I really do.
That's great. Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, to hear the responses from younger people, older people, boys, girls, men, women, you know, that's when you start to think, maybe this movie's going to be okay.
And so just finally, about tonight, you said you're going to be wearing something a bit different. Are you going to give me any secrets?
Oh, no, it's not that it's different. It's not different. It's kind of ordinary, really. But, no, it's just bright orange. It's like so naff, really. But for some reason, it's what I want to wear tonight. I know that everyone's going to slag me off, but, you know, no. What the hell.
London's best showbiz service from LBC News 1152. 24-hour news for London.
Hello, production.
Yeah, this is Mike in sales. I was wondering if we could alter our product line and get the new models to market within a month. Hello, Jack? Jack?
Sorry about that, Mike. I didn't quite hear you. Can you say that again?
Right, I was wondering if we could get the new models to market.
Departments don't always connect like they should.
Say again, Mike. Oh, it's a bit noisy in here.
But when your network and all your IT come together, your organisation comes together. Good reason to talk to BT, the people who network all of us.
Yeah, about the models, can we get them to market?
Phone 0800 400 478, or go to bt.com/business. BT, more connections, more possibilities.
Hello, I'm Teresa. I'm a mobile phone.
Hi, I'm Terry. I nick mobiles.
I'm relaxing in a shoulder bag on the tube.
And I'm on my way to the tube, but I ain't going in.
My owner just can't wait to use me.
Yeah, there's always some mug flashing their mobile as soon as they're out of the station.
Oh, my signal's getting stronger. Oh no, we must be going up the escalator.
Sometimes I even get a choice of phone to Nick.
Ah, there's a message. I bet she just can't wait.
Ha, gotcha.
Oh no!
Use your phone outside a tube station and you're asking to get it nicked. Nick a phone outside a tube station and you're asking for a few years in the nick. Remember, carrying mobiles or cash out of sight is safer. The Met's operation Safer Streets and the British Transport Police. Working for a safer London.
Sport for London. From LBC News 1152.
I'm Michael Trabulsi. England have a midfield injury crisis ahead of Saturday's Euro 2004 qualifier against Macedonia. Sven-Goran Eriksson's only has seven fit midfielders to choose from, following Steven Gerrard and Trevor Sinclair's withdrawal. Paul Scholes wasn't even included because of an ongoing hernia problem. The England head coach says Scholes will be missed.
He's one of the best midfielders you can find in the world. So, but he's out now for those two games, so we have to deal without him.
David Beckham was in action this evening for Real Madrid against Villarreal. The final score there tonight was 1-1. Rio Ferdinand, who's been suffering with a virus, will have tests tomorrow, so former Arsenal defender Matthew Upson's been called up. Fans planning to travel to Macedonia are being urged to stay at home, though. The FA are giving away their allocation of 2,000 seats to deprived children as a goodwill gesture, but supporters could still try to get tickets on the black market. And with a weekend of football internationals ahead, it comes as little surprise that another club versus country row is brewing. Wales and Newcastle appear on a collision course over striker Craig Bellamy. The Magpies say his knee injury should rule him out of the Euro qualifier with Italy, but an independent scan has passed him fit. Wales manager Mark Hughes says he fully intends to take Bellamy with him to Italy.
We were quite happy to go along with what Newcastle requested. We organised it over the weekend. Craig travelled down from Newcastle to Sheffield, saw the guy in Sheffield, and he gave him permission to come with us.
Surrey batsman Graham Thorpe's warning the cricketing public not to expect miracles when he resumes his test career later this week. The left-hander looks set to play against South Africa on his home ground at the Oval on Thursday, after a year in the wilderness. Thorpe's been regarded as England's best batsman in recent years, but he admits he might need a period of readjustment.
Yeah, I've been out of international cricket for a year, so it's, you know, you're not going to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. It's going to be an adjusting period, and I'm going to have to realise that. And hopefully, you know, when my turn comes during the game, that I'm up to the pace of it, and that's going to be, you know, the pressure which is on me.
And Surrey have announced the first 4 days of the fifth test have been completely sold out. And just one final piece of injury news to an England international. Fast bowler Andy Carrick has been ruled out of the winter tours of Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. The Somerset paceman is to have surgery on the back injury, which ruled him out of the series against South Africa. It's expected to keep him out for another 3 months. Alex Stewart's remaining typically modest, describing his swan song in Test cricket against South Africa as just another game. The England stalwart set for a heartwarming reception on Thursday at the Oval when he declares his career on 133 tests. It's sure to be an emotional occasion when Stewart bows out of the ground where he's played all his county career with Surrey. But for now, he says, it's business as usual.
My preparation and thought pattern will be exactly the same as it's always been for the last 13 years. And that might sound boring, not what you want to hear. How I'll react, I won't know until till we're out there. But I'm treating it as just another game.
And finally, Ralf Schumacher is in hospital in Milan after crashing his Williams BMW in testing at Monza. His car was badly damaged in the crash on Tuesday afternoon, but was conscious when he arrived at the track's medical center. The car is believed to have somersaulted several times when he crashed at the 150-mile-an-hour first Lesmo corner. LBC News 1152. More sport in half an hour.
LBC News 1152. Sport every 30 minutes. Replay on LBC News 1152. Online.
On digital.
And on air across London.
I'm Will Inglis. They hadn't been on air together for nearly 20 years, but on Tuesday morning, two of London's most famous voices reunited as part of LBC's 30th birthday celebrations. Douglas Cameron and Bob Holness controlled the airwaves in the mid-70s as their early morning AM programme reached millions of Londoners. Bob left LBC in 1985 to pursue a career in television, which included one of the most successful and long-running quiz programmes of all time, the legendary Blockbusters. But at 8 a.m. they were back together again, sharing their memories with London.
The first management got all the executives together, they got all the producers together, and then at the last minute they said, wait a minute, we haven't got any presenters. And with about 48 hours to go to the start of the station, they said, who on earth can we get to read the news, present programmes?
Yeah.
Quite extraordinary. Naturally enough, then, there were some faux pas. We can recollect one or two for you. Some of you may know about this. There was the newsreader. They had a three-car pile-up in East Anglia, in Bury St. Edmunds.
Oh, yes.
And they had a story. And this guy, who I must admit had just come over from Oz, and I apologise to all Australians for doing this, but you've got to do it in the Australian accent. And he came across this news item, and he said, there's been a three-car pile-up in Bury Street, Edmunds. He said, fortunately, now Bundy's been hurt. He says, I'm not too sure which part of London Edmunds is in, but if you live in Bury Street, the accident happened near you.
I'd forgotten that completely.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember there was one afternoon presenter, no names, of course, one wouldn't dare, who was waiting for the 4 o'clock bulletin to be brought into the studio from the newsroom. Had to run along corridors in those days, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, four o'clock came and went, and the producer played the station jingles several times. No sign of the bulletin. Then yelled through the talkback to the presenter, you'll have to say something. Whereupon the hapless individual told his audience, the news is coming in thick and fast. I only wish to God some of it were reaching me.
Many, many people recall our racing correspondent, Colin Turner. When he talked about tree fellas, everybody said, oh, you're down in the forest again, aren't you? No, no, he said, I mean three fellas. He said, yes. Well, anyway, one of the newsreaders said, now over to Colin Turner for hearse racing at Horst Park.
That's right. And it wasn't only horse racing that featured in the faux pas. LBC used to give the day's greyhound results for the London tracks each evening. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
After the 11 o'clock news. Proved to be too difficult for one newsreader who said one night, now here are the cat results coming from Dogford. The whole presentation is different. Now it's all with the use of screens. Used to be paper. We used to have paper, carbon-copied paper, all over the desk. You remember?
Yeah, I do.
I'm getting used to it still, but it takes some getting used to because the pace is very much different.
Yes, it is.
It used to be very much slower and very much more casual in those days. In these days, you fly by the seat of your pants.
You do.
How you do it, I don't know. I'm staggered.
Replay on LBC News 11:52. Non-stop news for London.